right, this is Pure Decking for Tuesday, July 19th, 1974. And this is the first week where we're doing our weekly schedule, 9 o'clock shows, only on Tuesdays. Tonight we've got Heavy Metal, Fox Wolf, Knox, and the BSV. And I am Morps. Hey, guys.
Hey, howdy, hey.
I almost forgot to intro myself again.
Still confused about this whole time displacement thing. What type of Skype program are you working with?
I just don't ask questions anymore.
This is totally 7 where I'm at. When I'm at, even.
Yep.
So, anyways, yep. This is the
I'm broadcasting from places bigger on the inside.
You just start giving Greenwich Mean Time.
There we go. That'll work.
In Zulu hours.
We're broadcasting now. I'm not, you know, whatever respective time it is, look at the clock. We're broadcasting now. And of course, we've moved to this time, whatever that time is for you, and weekly as opposed to twice a week. So sorry, but 3 shows a week was getting a bit much for me. So I thought it was time for a change and trying to take Pure Decking to kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to make it more fit something like, yeah, somewhere between what Pirate Party was doing, but still keep that hacker slant. So hopefully to have less stuff where you guys are just kind of nodding your head and going, uh-huh, sure, Morps, whatever. So
We have no clue what you're speaking of, but we will nod and say yes.
Well, that's usually how it's been going, isn't it? It's like I go off on some, you know, hacker break into systems crap, and you're all just like, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh.
Please don't do this to my box.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you know, we'll talk about it in the second half of the show, but I've been working on the Componer, so... Which, yes, it's named that purely because it sounds like boner, but I made a mistake on it, and I'm kind of disappointed.
That's just like any GNU or Linux project.
Name something funny because we could. So, anyways, but we'll get to that in the second half of the show. And, of course, Gen Con's coming up. And, Fox, are you going to make it at Gen Con? I know these yahoos are.
Yeah, I'm the one that's driving. Are you there? And I was pretty sure Knox is going to carpool with us, but...
Right. I'm going to need, like, your phone number, a picture, and...
I'm going to need a DNA sample, and...
So. I need to be able to find you somehow.
Yeah, we're going to have the whole crew out at Gen Con, so this will be interesting. As I've never actually met any of you assholes before, so I'm going to borrow the mask from the agent. Actually, yeah. That mask is fucking creepy.
You might want to hot glue that to your face.
There we go.
We'll try to get under that.
Well, I mean, hot glue ain't gonna do shit. That's coming off.
It's coming off. It's just like, it's like, oh wow, I've been tackled by 3 people I don't recognize, and but they seem to know who I am.
What you need to do is surgically replace your face with the mask.
Ow.
Oh, yeah, that'll work.
The mask under the skin.
Wait a minute now. I was just going to say that mask is kind of creepy, and I was worried I'd get arrested walking around Gen Con wearing it, but, you know.
It's Gen Con. You'll just be considered a part of the normally bad cosplay group that runs around there.
Actually, I can see that now. Oh, are you supposed to be part of Anonymous? It's like, no. They have a Guy Fox mask. This is a creepy Walmart guy.
Yeah.
Just say you're the vigilante guy from the Tick.
Actually, that's a good point. I could get a motorcycle jacket, and I'd pull that look off in a heartbeat.
Although I don't know if they'll let you carry the chainsaws into the con.
Oh, that would be unfortunate, because they're already in the car, packed
just
and ready to go.
Just dump them with styrofoam so they look fake.
Until you rev them up the first time.
No, man, it's got really good speakers in these things, I swear.
Nice. Very nice.
But you just cut through that wall. Special effects.
That was a prop.
That was a prop wall. I had them
CGI.
Planted for me.
Can't you tell from the pixels?
We've hacked your eyes, duh. It's like, I'm not even wearing a mask right now. You just think you're seeing it.
Exactly.
Jenna was that deaf mute kid.
All right. So anyways, first off on the stories here we picked out for this week. The NSA has decided they're not going to disclose whether or not they had a relationship with Google. And I've got a chunk of it here. Yeah, it's
did not have sexual relations with that internet search engine.
Well, it's because, you know, China launched an attack on Google, and they're worried that by claiming they had a partnership with Google, they'll be encouraging them somehow. This is coming out because apparently back in February, a group called the Electronic Privacy Information Center, which I love these names, requested a number of communications between the NSA and Google under Freedom of Information Act, and the NSA denied it, and then they got a judge to back them up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's you know, they're saying that they don't think the NSA wants to acknowledge a relationship one way or the other because they don't want to, I guess they don't want to admit to the...
Acknowledging.
I actually think
you
it's more
five courts of law.
I actually think it's more Google doesn't want the NSA acknowledging it because it would be bad for business.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, really, if you think about it, what is Google going to let them have that they can't get just by Google dorking anyway? I'm,
yeah, we'll have to ask RU about that one.
I think that there's quite a powerful tool adding this.
Providing, servers for all their secret stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, I think isn't it Verizon actually maintains a portal for law enforcement, so this is not really all that surprising.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, duh, they have a relationship with the NSA. I mean, come on. Of course they do. They just don't want to own up to it.
Well, come on, look at how tight Google and the federal government as a whole are. I mean, you look at Obama administration, and it's not too far of a stretch to say, okay, they're really tied into the government. You know.
Sure, if we look hard enough, we'll find a paper trail there.
Yeah.
A money trail, even.
Well, it might not actually be paper, but, you know, online documents. I mean, there's a trail there, I'm sure. But anyways, so next one here we got. This one is kind of sad, actually. Here's the slug line from it. As part of Operation In Our Sights in mid-2010, U.S. government seized domain name TVShack.net. We all know this. The site was operated by a 23-year-old guy out of the U.K., Richen O'Diner, I guess I'm saying that right. And they're they're trying to extradite the guy.
Huh.
For setting up a website that links to things.
Well,
oh, come on. We've all used TV Shack. We know he didn't host anything himself. He linked it all back to, you know, Mega Video or VO or whatever.
That's like
Ninja
suing
Video
the phone.
And all that.
That's like suing the writers
of
the phone
book. Go ahead,
Vox.
Go ahead, Vox.
It's like suing the writers of the phone book for having, you know, the number of a pedophile in there or, you know, the numbers of sex hotlines or anything else the phone book carries. It's a fucking directory.
Well, hell, it's like suing Yahoo. I mean, Yahoo maintains a directory of all kinds of shit. And nobody calls them on that. And of course, Yahoo could actually defend themselves, which is why I think they go after it.
I mean, come on. It's like suing LimeWire or BearShare. I mean, all they ever did was link back to, you know, the source material from somewhere
else.
Well,
that's just it. They won those lawsuits. The article I linked to was actually on Torrent Freak, and it was a letter from the kid's mom, basically trying to get support for the guy. And you know, she points out he never lied to the police when they asked him about the site. He didn't hide what it was. He didn't, you know, be shady. And hell, as opposed to dealing with any problems, he tried to just shut it down. You know, when they came up and said, "Hey, you can't do this," he said, "Okay," and shut the site down. Huh. As opposed to even fighting it, and they're still trying to extradite him. But I don't know what he set the site up in the UK. He never left. He's never set foot in the States. I want to know what grounds they're trying to extradite him on.
Well, here's how I see this. Sometime when the Fed comes into a situation and they're doing something, they basically just shotgun and see what sticks. So they may have put those extradition orders out there, you know, as soon as they, you know, filed all the other documentation. And it might just be something that's still in the court that you just have to go in and say, hey, you know, hold on a second. I've complied with everything.
Oh no, they know that. He testified to that effect. If you, it's a long read, but it's worth going to Torrent Freak and reading up on this because it's a little silly. If you look at what TV Shack was, yes, it was encouraging to link to, you know, infringing material, but they're links. They're not hosting anything.
You could also find some links to official material as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Didn't they have links to like Hulu and stuff on there? I don't know. It's been through so many iterations.
Oh, I never went there myself. I'm just making stuff up.
Oh, well.
I think we all agree this is a giant load of bullshit, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he wasn't... Linking is not copyright violation. And if it was, you'd have to shut down, I don't know, most of the internet.
Wasn't there a ruling on that, though? Didn't, like, Sweden say that, yeah, linking to stuff is not a crime?
Yeah, but Sweden said that.
I'm pretty sure LimeWire lost their case, and they ended up getting shut down, and having to pay a giant fine out to the...
yeah, they asked for, like, six times the amount of money in existence or something like that.
Yeah, well, which is...
That's a reasonable amount.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because they have a chance at ever getting that.
We just have to pay in installments.
You know, for the rest of existence. Yeah, I think what's happening to this guy is bullshit. They're trying to get him over to this. I guess I don't understand why they're trying to get him out of the States, because the UK has the same kind of copyright laws. Oh, wait, they don't. They don't exist, because this isn't a violation of copyright. So, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's just a... Strikes me as being something that they just overlooked and, you know, filed all of the paper documents and got it started and the extradition order.
I don't think this is something they overlooked, because they're purposely trying to get this. Go ahead.
Well,
Knox.
Because sorry. Go ahead.
I stepped on
no,
first.
If only it were that simple.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's what's going on, because they wouldn't be. And an extradition order is not something you just go, oh, yep, sorry, that's still in there, because, you know, you got to get them across the pond. It's
exactly,
a pain in the ass.
Exactly. You gotta save face, man. So you can't admit that you were wrong if you're a federal agent. So you're just gonna let it ride through and make them fight it to get it drafted. And once they fought it in court, then you could say, "Oh, yeah." Sorry,
they're trying to take him over to the States, where he's not gonna have his family. He's you know, the whole thing's a big sob story. His mom's saying nobody's gonna be able to afford to go over there to help him. You know, he can't get any legal help from his family over in the States, because none of them can get over there, right?
Right.
And you know, they're gonna keep him in a prison the whole time. And I mean, this is retarded. I mean, it would be like if we linked to a YouTube video and it turned out to have something on it, and then they tried to come and arrest me because I linked to it from Galaxy 15. It's like,
No. In case one of the random, like, if they came after you when one of the random posters posted on there.
That's even better. Yeah, like in the shout box or whatever. Yeah, that's a very good point. So. Yeah, it's. I think they're just trying to make an example of them of, you know, don't run the websites we don't like. That, or they're trying to, maybe they're trying to set an example so they can start extraditing the Pirate Bay guys. I don't know.
Either that, or they're just screwing themselves over very slowly.
We'll see. Julian Assange just came to his extradition trial, or it's starting anyway, so we'll see if that happens.
Well, Assange actually has a defense in that he didn't actually... Yeah, he published the stuff, but he didn't actually... he's not the one who leaked it. He's a member of the press. So, generally, a member of the press can publish anything they want, but it's the person who gave the press data is the one who broke the laws, which is why Bradley Manning is in jail. So, not that I actually like Assange or anything, but... I actually don't. I think he's a prick, to be honest with you. But,
Well, that's kind of a requirement to run an organization of any kind, really.
Well, I mean, it's you know, I don't disagree with what he's doing. I just think, you know, from what I've seen of him on a personal level, I think he's a prick. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't disagree with what WikiLeaks does. I just, personally, everything I've seen of him, it's just like, yeah.
Sometimes a prick is a prick.
Huh?
Sometimes a prick is a prick.
That's true. I mean, does he not strike anybody else as kind of a prick whenever you see interviews with him or videos or statements he's put out?
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the way he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just his personality.
I mean, there's a backup to that, too, in that he's had quite a few people quit his organization.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they've done a couple of spinoff sites now, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know them off the top of my head. Google will tell you that if you're interested. So,
OpenLeaks would be one of them.
Yeah. Speaking of Google, a federal judge sided with Google on Monday, granting the search giant the right to appeal. Actually, it's the same judge who ruled that the packet appeal his own ruling on packet sniffing on non-password protected Wi-Fi. Because when they were going around mapping, you know, the Google story that won't go away, that where they were running their vans around mapping access points for their it's for Android now. We know that, but you know, they figured out they were capturing data from unencrypted Wi-Fi, and you know, of course, the government swooped in and said, "We'll take that." And Yeah, that's what's more interesting to me on this is basically the judge punted. He's like, well, I guess I don't actually understand this well enough to make a good ruling, so we'll I'll let you appeal it, and we'll let the appellate court handle whether or not I should allow this to go forward. The judge almost says that. It's really funny if you go read it's on Wired.
Yeah.
But the interesting part to me was the little slug line in the story. Google has not reviewed the data, which now remains under courthouse lock and key, which Germany did the same thing when they figured out there was going on in Germany. They said, you give us that data. So well, I think Google just screwed up and these governments are taking advantage of to get the data. I don't really know why, because you can't get that much when you're driving by a Wi-Fi point unless you're just lucky.
Well, they don't know that.
True.
They've admitted they're not competent in this.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's going to end up being something that they're going to end up... Each government independently will pay many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to try to get something useful out of the data, and it will be will it have been cheaper for them to actually
it'll be a
buy their own band. And yeah, it'll buy their... No, they would have been cheaper to buy more band and go out and actually sniff the Wi-Fi again themselves with the purpose in mind of doing it.
Well, I mean, you know, just... Why don't you just put a password on your Wi-Fi and sidestep the problem entirely? So,
yeah, I agree. And that seems to be the standard here in the States. The telcos, at least AT&T in my area, whenever they just send out a new router to people wireless, it comes with a password and a pretty strong one.
Yeah, you know, they're doing that now, too. When I swapped ISPs, they were like... they're like, so you're you know, the guy, he could tell I knew what I was doing. So it's like, so you're going to secure your Wi-Fi, right? Because I have to say that I explained to you how to secure a Wi-Fi. And it's like, you want to see my password? So I showed him my 128-character Wi-Fi password. He goes,
okay, you got to change that now.
Yeah, pretty much. But he didn't get to write it down. He's not going to remember that thing. remember that thing.
He was Lord fucking Nikon, and he has a photographic memory, and... That was exactly what your password
I've
is
changed
now.
It since then anyway, so I'm not worried about it. But still, I mean, it's another crazy ass. I don't think it's quite 128 characters. I think it's down to like 116. But
yeah, it really makes war driving a pain in the ass nowadays, though.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You can still find the open access points, though. They're still there. It's just...
Yeah, they're just, you know, not as easily available. You drive through a neighborhood and just be like, huh, let's pick out the best connection.
Yeah.
Oh, this one has file and printer sharing. All right, well, I'll use your network, and that'll print out 50 copies of Goatsy on your printer.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, well, and you're not patching MS-0867. Yay, I've rooted your box.
Well, not only that, but we were having the, what was it, Google, or what was the Firefox plugin where you could actually sit there and get a live stream of what people were chatting or doing on their particular social networking site if they were
I think
on,
you're
on
talking about Fire Sheep, but it wasn't they were doing. It's just you were sidejacking their cookies.
Yeah, exactly, but you basically were doing that over an unsecured, you know, access point, and all you have to do is password protect it, and that solved that problem, you know?
Technically, that doesn't actually solve the problem. It makes it a lot less likely to happen, but you can still do the Fire Sheep trick if you're on the same Wi-Fi network as somebody else. You just happen to have to... Well, I guess if they're on web. I think WPA, because it uses different keys for every client, does actually solve that issue. But that if you're on a wired network or if you've got a SPAN port, it still works.
Yeah.
The real solution is get your websites to use HTTPS.
Which was, that was the big thing. And most of them have switched over, except for Facebook.
No, Facebook did.
Did they finally get to it?
Yeah, they switched over to it, but a lot of their applications don't work with HTTPS, so you get kicked out of it a lot.
Okay.
Which is why I don't bother with Facebook applications, although I know a ton of people do. I'm so tired of Facebook. Anyways, every time I look at there, it's like, all of my messages are full of such and such is playing Farmville and wants you to do X. It's like, fuck off. I don't have time to farm a virtual farm.
That is one of the things I really like about Google Plus. So, and I know they're opening an APK, so it will be possible.
Oh, you know Zynga's going to be in there as soon as possible.
Right, but right now, it isn't there. There's none of that bullshit. So, that's nice. But, you know, that, and that's the whole point. It's basically there's no good data there, especially not now. How many people have moved? How many people have changed out their, you know, service provider? You know, it's just,
again, it's just, okay, now we're stuck in the legal system, and it takes for fucking ever to go through that process and get to the point where we can actually get a resolution. So it's like, okay, I guess I'll let, you know, the judge is, like you said, punting. I guess I'll let you go and appeal it to another court, you know, and it's like, okay.
Well, you know, like I said, I just thought the most interesting part of the story was that the courts are scooping up the data and hanging on to it. Google hasn't even looked at it, so...
Yeah.
And I tend to believe them. They just had a misconfigured. They just had their. They were using. They're using Kismet. I mean, come on. And they had it misconfigured. They claim they're using some super secret Google. It's fucking Kismet. We all know what they were using. So.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
Anyways, and Kismet will do that if you configure it wrong. And considering Kismet used to be, I haven't messed with it lately, but it used to be kind of a pain to get it configured right. At least if you were using an oddball Wi-Fi card. So I can believe that somebody would screw up and have a flag turned on, especially if they were testing it out, and it got pushed to the image they were pushing to the vans. I believe that. So.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Oh, yeah. So, anyways.
Well, I think they totally screwed up turning it over no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, if they had never owned up to it, nobody would know about it. That's the funny part.
Well, even if they did, they should have wiped it.
Yeah.
Turning it over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once they owned up to it, you know, it's evidence, and they could have been charged with destruction of evidence. So, oh, well, whatever. Next one, fun one.
Crime.
Yeah. Microsoft has added a My Friend's Been Hacked reporting feature to Hotmail. And this is about the smartest thing I've heard out of them in a long time, as far as anti-spam goes. Basically, it lets you report to Hotmail that somebody who's sending you mail on Hotmail is sending you spam. Which, that's a good way to identify accounts being compromised, if you ask me. It's like, oh, that box is now sending shit. Maybe I should let the service provider know so they can lock the account. Now, it doesn't actually say the process. It just says they lock the account and they can then recover it. But,
yeah, it's a good idea. I like it. I mean, it's handy to have that. I think that should definitely be available to no matter which email service you're using. However, I think at some point, depends on your IT staff, how overwhelming is this going to get after a while, you know, for them?
Well, I don't know. At first, it'd be kind of a pain in the ass, but once you got it cleaned up, it wouldn't be so bad. The other thing, though, is, you know, you have shit go on like LulzSec is back. Apparently, they got into Sun, but the paper. And, they're going after Murdoch for the phone hacking thing, I guess. I quit paying attention to them, to be honest. And I don't know. So if you got websites getting popped like they were doing and being released, then you get these massive amount of email accounts getting compromised very quickly. But if you've just got somebody who's got a keylogger on their box, you know, does Hotmail point out, hey, your account was compromised? Maybe you had to check your machine for malware. I mean, you know, these days anymore, you never know. And it's like, maybe you had to change your password to something you don't use in every stupid-ass anime forum you go to, just to follow it.
Exactly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I found... Actually, 8. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Somewhat different.
Yeah, yeah. I found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a data center last week.
I tried to use that password myself for my voicemail, but it wouldn't let me.
I wanted it to match my luggage.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, that's a pretty common one too. I mean, it's just you got.
Well, I run an SSH honeypot, right? And I parse. I've got an awesome password list that's just been parsed from this thing for running it for a couple of years now, and yeah. No, the most common passwords, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, admin, root, Xbox, Alpine, let me in, Nagios, and the letter A.
The letter A.
Yeah, that one surprised me too.
That meets minimum character requirements?
I don't know. I see it a lot in the logs. People just trying, you know, A, B, C, D. So the letter A shows up as one of the most, like, top 15 commonly tried passwords. I'd have to pull the report, which is at my office. It's not here, so I don't have the numbers and actual passwords in front of me. I'm doing that one from memory, but, you know, still.
Yeah, it's not hard to do a passphrase, a decent passphrase, if you're going to do something like that.
Oh, well, yeah, if you're doing SSH, you need to be doing certificate-based auth anyways. You shouldn't even be bothering with passwords on SSH. But
Why can't some people at least do something odd for their password? Just hit random keys and write them down.
Well, they don't think it's important, right? It's not that they can't do it.
These are the people that tape their fucking passwords on their monitor or have them hidden underneath their keyboard.
They're not
the brightest of individuals.
My favorite ones are the people who hide their password on the back of their laptop lid. I was at an airport not too long ago where I had gone up to Chicago for some stuff. And on the way back, I saw three machines with what were obviously single sign-on credentials, duct tape, post-it noted, masking tape, and one that just looked like a label with passwords written on it. And you know their passwords because they're crossed out and have another one written under it. It's like I could have just taken out my phone right there, click. And, oh, look, two of them had their business card taped to the back of the laptop, so I knew what company they worked for.
Well, that's how you know how to return the laptop and passwords once you found them on the ground.
Great. I'll just sign into your system from a Starbucks, start dumping out your email, and you know, I don't know, find financial records or what. I don't know. I just kind of shit pisses me off. It's like you got people in the security industry going absolutely batshit insane trying to figure out how to stop all this stuff, and then you got Buddy over in sales who's, you know, it's essentially advertising his username, password, and where he works to everybody. So it's just like, what the hell? So
mandatory beatings shall commence until morale and network security improves.
They wouldn't let me. I tried to order a cattle prod at work. I wanted to call it an employee motivational device. They wouldn't let me do it. So.
What you need to do is
get some insurance issues there.
Probably.
What you need to do is install on every computer on the network a special keyboard that electrifies anybody that tries to install a weak password.
That would be easy. It's just people would notice the extra power line going to their keyboard, and it's like, you know, why did you install a relay down there?
Are you sure they would notice the extra wire?
The people with wireless keyboards would, yes. There's enough of those floating around.
Would they really?
I don't know if they would. Some may, most wouldn't.
That's probably true.
Dang it, they made my keyboard
wired.
They might not notice.
It's like, what's that for? Well, that's the power. Well, keyboard needs power? Yep.
All you have to tell them is the battery sending unit went out. And so we needed to plug in the wire to make your keyboard work until we can get a new battery sending unit.
Ran right into the mains.
Made up bullshit. Your battery fluid was out. We needed to add this wire.
Facilities would love me for that one. It's like, why do we keep having all these freaking circuits trip? I don't know. One last story we want to hit here. EFF, RIAA and MPAA have announced their common agreement framework with several ISPs. I talked about the story a couple of weeks back, I think, where maybe it was last week. AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, several other ISPs all made deals with the RIAA and MPAA. And
it's actually pretty hilarious what it ends up being.
Yeah, it's six accusations, and then they want you cut off from the internet, something like that.
No. They will warn you that sixth time, and then they won't cut you off, but they'll slow you down. They'll throttle your internet, and then they'll issue a seventh warning.
No, in this story, they actually, in the EFS story, anyways, which I know is slanted, they actually do want people being disconnected, because they're arguing that by not taking measures to remove repeat offenders from their networks, that removes DMCA safe harbor.
So. The issue is people communicating. We just need a frontal lobe lobotomy for everyone, and it will be good.
Well, the other thing is, when I was digging on this story, a couple of things stuck out, which were really kind of funny. One, it's still based on accusations. There's no evidence that any copyright infringement actually occurred, and as somebody who's handled and actually wrote a system for handling large numbers of DMCA copyright complaints, you get several of them that are just flat wrong. So, I mean, you get a lot of them that are right, too. Not all of them are bullshit, but in my experience, I would say a good 10% of them are bullshit. Yeah. So,
that's not enough for a legal
false accusations, and you shut off most of the internet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, they've got a dispute process, but it's fee-based. You have to pay like a $35 fee. And in doing so, you're paying a fee, which means you're not telling them who you are. So, of course, they can still sue your ass.
That's not true. You can go get a one-time youth card, pay cash for it, and then do that.
Well, I know, but how many people are just going to punch in that credit card to try to dispute this? And again, you have to pay to dispute their accusation.
Right.
And it's even funnier. I went and dug up the other side, because I got this from EFF, right? So I went and got the copyright group's news article, and that's also in the notes I sent you guys. And there's some really funny shit going on there. For one thing, their site is running on Drupal, but they have removed all of the acknowledgement of Drupal from their site. Now, I don't know the licensing of Drupal specifically, but I think you can do it. It's just, it's really funny to me that the copyright group doesn't acknowledge the copyright of the software they use.
Right.
They've got, of course, in their story, they've got more bullshit numbers, which I love. Well, I rail on that every time we talk about this on Pure Decking. Where the hell do they get these numbers?
From the Ouija board, of course.
Of course.
Or the Ouija numpad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've... Even in their story, they've got some really funny assumptions. It's like, well, once people understand they're violating copyright law, they'll stop because they respect our copyrights. No, they'll stop because they're scared the shit out of their minds of being sued by you.
Yeah, no, nobody stops copyright violations because they respect the law.
Yeah. There's a really funny quote, and I've got it pulled out here. Gene Pruitt, president and CEO of Independent Films and Television Alliance, noted, "Frequently, independent producers and distributors are the hardest hit by content theft." Bullshit. And this argument is a textbook example, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, fuck you, that's why. That's basically what they're saying. It's like, independent producers are hardest hit, my ass. They're the ones who stand the most to benefit by digital distribution.
Yeah. They're normally the hardest hit by the copyright laws.
Yeah, go ahead, Knox.
The ones hardest hit are them board members and the big companies, not anybody else in them even.
Well,
maybe the lawyers doing the DMCA complaints, but...
Yeah, well, see, this is why we only use free licensed open music or stuff where we actually know the artist and, you know, they say we can use their stuff. Like Tack has said specifically, we can use it. He helps to run the radio station, so I don't think he cares. But,
except for the Pac-Man bit at the beginning of the intro to the show.
Oh, for God's sake. That has been in so much stuff, I don't think anybody's going to call me on it. I hope not. Fine, I'll stop using Pac-Man.
I don't know. They could. You don't have written consent, do you? They might still call you on Tack stuff.
I got the Pac-Man thing from one of the open source sound sites, to be honest with you. So, I mean,
see, you've done enough editing to the original track to make it your own.
Sure.
Well, we mix it in with so much other stuff. And, of course, I also have the, I got this from one of the same open source loop websites, the...
Toasty!
That, I mean, that's technically a violation of Mortal Kombat 3 copyright, isn't it?
Yeah.
So. I think it's too short a sample to be do that for a non-profit organization.
I play it because it's funny. I mean, but, you know, be honest, if we think that that's a problem, I'll ditch them. I'll ditch the loops if we think they're copyrighted. I don't know. I mean, I thought they were short enough that nobody would call me on it.
I don't care. It's just that if we're gonna say, you know, we're the pristine, you know, sterling example, then we kind of have to be.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I agree, and that's the point is if their licensing is going to be so onerous that they actually have to go after their own consumers, we're just not going to participate.
Right.
So that's what, and it's, I think the station sounds pretty good, to be honest. When I listen to it at work all the time. But the thing, you know, it's like if, I don't know, do you guys think that me using some of these old video game sounds are a problem?
No, actually, you're pretty good for that. There's been a lot of stuff on that and
sure.
A lot of fair use cases and everything. And
well, no, I mean, if we honestly think that's a problem, I'll stop using them, like today. I mean, I'm going to be
we're definitely good on those.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to be more strict about the licensing for music on our station than Linux distributions are with, you know, the free and open source stuff.
Right.
So, that
just
said,
pump a small copyright acknowledgement text file directly into the audio stream.
you just hear a little beep 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 beep. But speaking of free and open source music, I've got some for the break here. This is Anatech. It's off their instrumental volume 8. Track is Authorization. So we're going to go into break here. We're a little over time on for that, but that's okay. So let me just mute the Skype call here and myself, and we'll play our track. Skype call back here. You guys still there?
See.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
We lose Heavy?
Yep.
Yeah, he said he might have to drop off. That was, I don't know if I named the track or not. That was Authorization by Anatech. It's off their volume 8. I got it off Jamendo. So, something a little different. Not chiptune for a change. So, and we'll set up the next track there. We'll close the show out on off the same album, Lost Hours, just so I make sure I'll get those in there. Let's see. I'm just kind of looking at some of the stuff you were talking about on the break. Text thing in the... Well, actually, if you listen to the station live, as long as the ID3 tags and the music are correct, the metadata gets updated. It'll tell you what the current track is on the website.
Yeah, but, you know, you do like a multi-paragraph... Multi-paragraph long, you know, statement of text, like trying to throw that all in the metadata. I don't know. You somehow like digitize it into something else and stream the audio. So that technically it would be right there in the show files in the audio.
Well, hell, we'll put it on the website. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that just covers your ass for every live show. It's like, all right. You know, crazy modem noise. Hey, your shit's covered. All right. There's your disclaimer. If you can't understand it, not my problem.
Clip that part out of the MP3.
For $19.95, we'll send you your very own decoder ring.
Yes.
I like
it. Our disclaimer is coded.
Okay. Beep, beep, dash.
Is that a
B.
curly sign, curly bracket? I'm not sure. Who made these rings? They're hard to read. Yeah, that's a good idea, Knox. I like that. We'll have to play with that. I'm not sure. I know there's ways of actually encoding stuff in audio so you can like take the MP3 file, cut the chunk of it out of it, and rename it, and other ways of processing it. And there's also ways of putting stuff like if you go in and look at the sound profile. Like I know that when they were doing one of the Portal alternative reality things, they were hiding stuff in sound files like that.
Yeah, or like maybe just like read a disclaimer and like speed it up so it's just like a chirp at the beginning.
So it sounds something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that.
They could throw it in Audacity and slow it the fuck down if they wanted to and go from there.
Oh, geez, that's a good idea. Do like this 10-minute long disclaimer, get it sped up to the point it's like an hour, like, you know, 2 seconds, and just see how much you can fit in there.
You gotta have a minimum sample rate in there.
Yeah, we can do that. Still, it's a fun concept. We'll have to play with that. So, Anyways, just some station stuff. I was looking at Campcaster or Airtime again. Looks like the newer revs have fixed a lot of the problems we had with it back when I was first starting to try to use it. They've added some stuff for doing live shows. And, yeah, I mean, if we used Mumble as a transport for it instead of Skype, then I think I could pull that off. And there's a hack, actually, the reason I'm seriously looking at it, there's a hack in it to make it fall back on, well, what the station's currently doing now, where it just randomly selects a track from, you know, the library. So, yeah. I don't know. Did you all, BSV, I thought we showed it to you. I don't know if any of you, anybody else saw the Airtime interface last time I was playing with it.
I don't think you've shown it to me.
I didn't? Okay. Well, yeah, I can't remember.
Either that or I lost memory of it. I don't know.
It could be. But essentially, it was web-based, and you'd go in and set up schedules. And, you know, it would just have the library. And it worked. For a lot of what we wanted to do, it would work really well. But there's some things where it falls down. The automation side of it isn't so good. It really needs playlists and schedules going all the time. But that hack to make it just randomly pick something out of the library and play it, if nothing's scheduled, seemed like a good fix. So I may look at going back to that, because then at least I can run the station on Linux instead of a Windows box. So, no, nothing.
Crickets.
I've got one of those somewhere.
Keep letting the crickets in here.
Yeah, here we go. There we go. So, yeah, there's that. Hit some Digital Dojo stuff here. Torrent Freak had a good article. It's kind of an older one. 5 ways to download torrents anonymously. Not that we actually encourage piracy, but, you know, hey. Mostly it was a good list of proxy and VPN sites, but, you know, I don't really want to encourage piracy, but I don't really support the current way the big media companies are operating. So, yeah, go nuts. what else we got here? ThoughtPolice.co.uk. Lots of pre-built Unix and Linux virtual machines. Really handy if you're building a lab. So let's see, what else did I put in this list? Wallbase.net. I don't know if you guys know about that one or not. Good site for wallpapers. Any of you all seen Wallbase.net?
I use, what was it? Like, shit. I haven't used Wallbase. I've got...
There's another one that's similar to it.
Forwalled?
Yeah, that's it. Same thing. BSV, Knox, either of you guys ever looked at Wallbase or Forwalled?
No.
Mostly, I think true. I think they're scraping the wallpaper boards of like 4chan and 2chan, yeah, and stuff like that for the most part.
Pretty much what they're getting all their stuff from. It's also, shit, now I'm like blanking on my wallpaper places, like Win Customize and, yeah, Interface Lift and all those.
Well, I just like Wallbase because every time I go on there, I'm usually able to find an epic wallpaper. And if I'm setting up like 5 or 6 VMs to do a test, I want an easy way to identify which one is which. It's like you'd think this one being, you know, a GNOME 3 desktop and this one being XFCE or something, you'd be able to tell them apart. But just a quick glance at the wallpaper is a great way to tell which one you're working on. So... That's handy for me. Yeah. There was another one.
I go with one that says GNOME.
GNOME. Well, it's more along the lines of, this is a Ubuntu machine, so you go find a cool-looking Ubuntu wallpaper. This one's free BSD, so you go find a good free BSD wallpaper. This one's a Windows box, so you go find porn. I mean...
the only place my desktop is visible for more than like 30 seconds every 24 hours is the slightly transparent sidebar there. So,
fair enough.
I don't use my desktop, my actual wallpaper.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's true. If you've got stuff open all the time, what's it matter? It's handy, so I thought I'd mention it. And, I had another one under Digital Dojo. I didn't put any notes in for it. Oh, I know what this is. It's a Hacker News posted a, they call it the Damn Small SQI Scanner. I haven't had a chance to play with it. It was just a big source code dump right in their blog. If it's a SQL injection scanner, good to run it on your sites, especially since, you know, AntiSec, Anonymous, and LulzSec are back in action again. So, anyways, so that's just, you know, handy stuff to have. And just kind of close things out, I thought we'd talk about some custom hardware a little bit. I've been playing with Arduinos and making controllers. And today, and a good bit of some yesterday, I was working on what I've been calling the Componer, which is a Nintendo controller, original NES controller, that I've put a Arduino inside of it. And it's a Tensi. And when you plug it in, it shows up as a keyboard. And I've also put an LCD screen in it. I'm gonna put a bunch of different programs in it. And I've got it looking really cool. I'm pretty pleased with it. I went to go start programming it today, and I realized I forgot to wire up the reset button. And a side effect of the Tensis is if you can't hit the reset button, you can't reprogram them.
Youch.
So I get to tear the whole thing apart and add another button. not cool.
Oh, well, easier the second time.
Well, yeah, it's a really tight fit.
Unless
it's one of those.
Use super glue.
No, I didn't do that. I was able to avoid the hot glue and the super glue this time, but it was pretty close. I thought I was going to have to break that stuff out. I was just kind of disappointed. I got it all done. I think it's looking awesome. And then, bumped the microphone. That's good. Any of you guys ever play with Arduinos, building custom controllers, anything like that?
Unfortunately, no.
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 Not even interested in it?
Don't really have the space or the time really to get into it.
Class on using Arduinos.
And the one guy in my area that was really interested in it, because he was, you know, selling the boards and writing programs and all that sort of, yeah, their company moved to San Diego and he picked up and left with that.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty cool to play with. I mean, you know, I like doing the whole custom controller thing with them. I know a lot of the thing you got to watch out on, especially Arduinos, is when you go looking for information on them. Mostly, what you find is how to make them blink lights. It's like every tutorial on Arduino is like, it's like this is how you make an LED blink. Here's the slow blink. Here's the LED cube. Here's how you Charlieplex LEDs, and it's just like I don't really have a lot in the way of LEDs on it. I've got an LCD. Got a little, 2x8 character display on this NES controller, which looks badass, but it's not. I don't have a single LED on here. Is that like sacrilege to have an Arduino project that doesn't have a single LED on it? I mean,
don't know. You'd have to look into that.
Can you hook it up to something with LEDs?
Not working.
Well, it's got a USB port on it, so I suppose you could.
Then you should be fine.
Yeah. Well, I tell a lie. The backlight on the LCD screen is an LED.
Nope, you're safe.
I'm safe. Okay.
Make it blink.
Make it blink. Nice.
As long as it's blinking, all is all right.
I can't read the screen. It's blinking. So,
it's a feature.
It's a feature. That's what Microsoft says. Oh, man. I've got another Arduino project I'm starting, and I was kind of hoping Tack was going to stick around, but I don't still see him on Skype, because I went over the project with him, actually, because this is fun. I was cleaning out some stuff, and I found one of those old keyboard synthesizers, like the toy keyboard synthesizers. This was a Casio SA-38. It's not really a MIDI, it's got no MIDI or anything like that. It's meant you just, punch on it and play stuff, right? Everyone knows what I'm talking about, those kind of toy keyboards?
Yeah.
I found one of those, so I gutted it. And I've now mapped the piano part of the keyboard, the circuit that was on it, I've mapped that out. So I'm going to be hooking that up, and I'm going to turn it into a MIDI controller. Sort of like, what TAC uses on Fruity Loops.
Sure.
No?
Yeah.
Hang on. Maybe I'm going to need to start planning what crowds I have around for what topics.
Yeah, unfortunately, all the audio stuff that I've, it looks interesting, but I honestly do not have anywhere to set anything up to, even start fucking with it at all. So. Yeah. I haven't looked into anything about it just for that reason, because it's going to piss me off that I wouldn't be able to fuck with anything.
I understand.
It's like, oh, man, it looks totally awesome. I can't do shit about it.
Well, if you want, I can describe my recording setup.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so I have two headphones, one with a broken mic boom that I use for sound, one with broken headphones that I use the mic boom of. Both of those are strapped to my head.
Hang on, here you go, Nox.
Right, and I'm using Fraps to record the games, and I just have my mic on playback here, so I can hear my beautiful, beautiful voice talking back at me, and I can judge my volume by that, see how it is going to be on the recording, because I can't really separate that out.
Yeah.
So everything falls together in a very in a haphazard house of cards. Until Windows updates the next time and completely breaks that aspect of sound recording, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you deal with the whole, like, hearing yourself back? That always tends to fuck me up. It's like, I'll stop and listen to myself as I'm trying to talk, so it always comes off like crap.
Well, that's what I do, actually. I can hear myself in my own headset right now because I've got a big analog mixer. That's how I'm doing the music and the stream and stuff like that. And I just pipe.
I'm not fast enough to actually stop when I hear somebody start talking, so I've learned to just plow over that.
So yours is just a reflex issue.
Yeah.
No, I'm using a straight-up analog mixer, so there's actually no delay. I hear it in my... Well, I mean, there's delay, obviously, but I can't perceive it. Versus, like, my USB mic, if I hook that thing up and try to use it, there's, you know, a good, obvious, you know, half a second delay. Oh,
yeah,
that's what ended up screwing me.
Yeah, that's what I end up getting. And so it's like, I'll be half of the sentence and I start talking and it's like, the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm doing a live recording trying to match up my voice to the game thing. Unless I have a second computer sticking over here to record my voice, it's going to have to be absolutely no delay on that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I was looking at it. I'm trying to find a better solution for recording than just popping up Audacity in the broadcast box and taking what's coming out of the mixer. Just because I worry about the box crashing and losing the show, right? And that has happened once. Out of all this time I've been doing recording for IHN and now, you know, the Galaxy 15 stuff, I've only lost one show due to a crashed recorder. But I worry about that. And I was actually thinking an old iPod, because they used to sell these things you could slap on the bottom of them to turn them into a recorder. And that would basically be a solid-state recorder, wouldn't it? Well, not solid-state, but I mean hard drive.
Oh.
It could be redundancy, at least.
Yeah.
I never got an iPod, but my Sansa Clip could do that.
Oh, yeah, shit, I've got an old Sansa Clip. I didn't even think about that. I'll have to look and see if that will... Does it got a mic? Does it got a line in anywhere on yours, Nox?
It doesn't have a line in. It just has a...
It's got a little microphone built into the case.
You'll need to crack it open. Yeah.
See, I tried to do it with a... I've got a little Olympus voice recorder. It's meant for, like, you know, for use in a lecture hall or a meeting or something. That worked for all the voice, but whenever I played music, it just, you know, was noise. It didn't work. So, all right. Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap up the show here. Check out RU's Open Mic Friday Nights. We don't actually know what day it's on, but he called it Open Mics Friday Nights the first time he talked to me about it, so that's what I've been calling it. Of course, we've got I Have Nothing every Saturday. Hugo's Newsreel will be on Thursday, 9 o'clock, my time anyways. And... of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site and the Twitter handle. Have you guys got anything you want to pump?
My Fallout New Vegas is Let's Play is up in a few episodes, and after screaming at YouTube, I finally actually got them up.
Hey, all right.
And it only took 9 hours for one episode.
Fox, you got anything you want to push?
Nah.
BSV?
Not really.
All right. Well, like I said, I've got another track off of that. Oh, crap. I closed the window. What was it called? I have the Anatech from the Jamendo. Their instrumentals, volume 8. This is Lost Hours. We're gonna
one last thing.
Yeah, Nox.
One last thing. You know, Friday night open mic. I assume that's something like a Saturday Night Live. It's filmed on Tuesday.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. The best way to catch this show is just to listen to the stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that way you can...
That's the only way to listen to this stream. Any other way is wrong, and we will send lemons to your house and set your house on fire. Yeah.
Our usual show is Friday night for him. So it was taking place Friday morning at roughly 2 or 3 o'clock a.m. out American time.
Well, he averaged,
I believe he
so
moved
midnight
it back
on Tuesday
today.
For me.
Yeah. Well, I believe he's actually advertising his show on 4chan, which scares me a little. So,
yeah.
But like, that's the kind of people he wants to get on there for the random trolling bullshit. So.
Yeah, that's true. But
it's his own corner of the internet.
Well, it just worries me because Galaxy 15 is run on WordPress, and I keep it up to date, but it's WordPress. I mean, those.
Yeah.
Give me 15 minutes. I'll get the WordPress source up there and start trawling through it for exploits.
Oh yeah, they're in there. I mean, it's they patch it a lot, but it's I'm sure they're in there. So, yeah. All right. Well, let's close things out here. So let's see. This is the Lost Hours track. Let me mute Skype and myself, and we'll start some music.